We got to get him. And so what's funny about this Elisha, where he's at, he's staying in this city called Dotham. And he's staying there at that time. And so the king of Aram says he's going to send a military. So he gets this military organ. I don't know how big this military was. I do know it was big enough to surround this city. And so he sends out this military to take Elisha, dead or alive. Now what is funny about that is the fact that he comes up with this plan. And all the other times, Elisha has warned the king of Israel, don't go here, don't go there, because he's setting up. So what makes this king think he can take Elisha by surprise? It's kind of funny if you really think about it. And so that's where we're going to pick up today, because that's what's happening. He sent this military group to Dotham to take Elisha dead or alive. And then we're going to pick up in verse 15, and that's where we get into today, because the troops that the king has sent is surrounding the city. And so in verse 15 it says this. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with him." And then in verse 17, then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes." And we're going to come back to that here in a moment. "Open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and of chariots of fire all around Elisha. Okay. They'll get it up here in a second. Anyways, there we go. When our sight becomes focused on the problems, the trials, the troubles, that's when we start to feel hopeless and helpless. You've got to understand, the servant that's to Elisha is not, I think I'm going to pronounce his name right, Gazi. It's not him. It's a new guy. And I don't know how long this servant's been with him. But obviously this servant has not experienced enough, has not seen what God has done through Elisha enough to have the faith that he should have. Okay, he should have. And so when he goes out in his morning routine, whatever his morning routine is, and I just kind of picture it. He's up, he's going out for his morning routine, and as he goes to maybe to get water or whatever, he looks out and he sees this army surrounding the city. Now he knows who this army is. He knows that. And so what is the first thing that he does? He's panicked. He's scared to death. And he turns to, Elisha and says, "What shall we do?" Now I want to tell you, you think about in the day and time when we're in right now, that same question that the servant asked Elisha is being asked today. What shall we do? How are we going to handle this? How are we going to overcome this? But here's the thing. It's not the government who's got the answer. It is the church who has the answer. Because that's what the servant did. He didn't run to the mayor of the city. He didn't run who was ever over the city. He turned to the man of God and said, "What shall we do?" This one, before I get going too far, is the fact a lot of people, when they get that way, when they become hopeless, when they become helpless, and they become entrenched by fear, because that's where their focus is at, that's what they see, they ask that same question. And here's the sad thing. There's a lot of believers who ask that question. Now, I don't want to sound, because I've asked that question too. When God called us to Clear Creek, and we left our family, and we went to a place that my wife hadn't seen before, and you're there with no job, and you're just saying, "Okay, Lord, you've put us here," and the bills still start rolling in, you've got a family to feed, you've got your education, you kind of ask that question, what are we going to do? And we did ask that. But you know what? I didn't run to the professor and ask. I didn't run to Dr. Whitaker, who was the president of the college at the time, and ask. We asked God, what are we going to do? Lord, how are we? You've got us here. You brought us here. What are we going to do? And you know what? God answered. And he's answered every time. He's opened our eyes. He's helped us to see. You know, when we left Friendship and moved to Bristol, Lord, what are we going to do? God answered. And it's no different today. If there's something that is that your focus is on your trouble or your fear, I'm not saying don't talk to other people. I'm not saying don't do that. But your first person you ought to go to is God Almighty. Go to Him and say, Lord, I believe, I know you're here, but what are we going to do, Lord? God will take care of it. He will take care. He will show you. And so today, the church, when the world is asking, what are we to do? My friends, it is the church that should stand up and say, this is what we're going to do. The church. Because we serve an all-powerful God. He's got the answers. And he has chosen to use the church to give the answer to the world. So yes, those who are asking, what shall we do? Is the church who's supposed to answer, said, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to put our eyes on the Lord. You remember that, in the wilderness when the people were being bitten by the serpent and people were dying? What were they told to do? Does anybody remember? Look up. Look at the serpent. God's got it. He'll take care of it. And he will take care of this, but he's going to use the church to show the way. I believe that, guys. I believe that. This thing that's going on in this world didn't take God by surprise. It is an opportunity. It is an opportunity for the church to rise up and be the light that we're called to be. So are we going to take that opportunity? We better. We had better take that opportunity. Anyways, when we become hopeless and helpless, we ask this question, what shall we do? Now, when others see things the way that Elisha's servant saw, what shall we do, the church? Now, so that's what he asked, what shall we do? But it's time for the church to say, what shall we do? How are we going to respond? How are we going to react? What are we going to do that God gets the glory out of this? Now, I said here in a moment, I didn't want to get too far ahead, because if you go back up to verse 17, okay, well, verse 16, right? The servant comes to him, says, what are we going to do? Verse 16, he says, that Elisha says, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. In verse 17, then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, open whose eyes? His servant's eyes. You know what Elisha did not do? Elisha did not pray and said, Lord, will you deliver us? Lord, will you send help? Lord, we're surrounded. And I'm not saying it's a bad prayer, but in this case, Elisha already knew, as Rachel sung this morning, God's there. He didn't have to ask. He didn't have to pray and say, God, we're surrounded. Please send help. No, Elisha, in his faith in God Almighty, knew that he didn't care who was there. God was already there. And God will take care of it. Whatever God wants to do, if God wants them to invade, so be it. If God wants to save them, so be it. But he knew God was there, and Elisha was not worried, because not so much, you know, God's going to strike him dead. He knew God was there, and that was good enough. And that should be good enough for us. God's there. I don't care what the enemy's trying to do. I don't care. And I say I don't care. Please don't take the wrong way. I don't care what your problems are, what your struggles are. They're real, but God's there. He's there. Trust him. And God will get you through each and every day. He'll provide what you need. And if the worst happens, right? You still win. You still win. Victory! Victory. No matter what. And Elisha knew that. So anyways, he prays and he says, Lord, open his eyes. The church And here's what the church ought to be doing in response. Pray. Pray. We're limited in what we can do, but God is not. Pray that the eyes of those who are asking, what shall we do, be opened. Because we already know. We already see. We see God. We know God. We know. There's not a person in this room, if I say, does God have this? You're not going to raise your hand. I don't hope. You're not going to raise your hand and say, I don't know. You know God's got this. You know God's there. You know God's with you. You know God hears you. And God's going to take care of you. So what do? I don't need my eyes open in a sense that see God there. I know He's there. I need to be praying for those who don't know. For those who don't see, so that they can see what I see, and they can see what you see. God's there. So let's start praying. Let's start praying the way Elisha prayed. And I want to tell you guys, we serve the same God that Elisha served. Elisha's no different than you and I. And if we start praying the way Elisha started praying, maybe we'll start having some eyes opened. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, I don't see it, that's okay. That's okay, because you know what you can do? You can pray as we sung this morning, God, open my eyes so I can see. Now, God's just not going to open your eyes so you can see. Because we get into the next part, because that's where we got started at, guys, is praying, but help others. I love what Elisha did. Elisha, the servant, is scared. I mean, he sees the army. He knows, dead or alive, they're going to be taken. And so Elisha prays for him, but Elisha helped him. He didn't say, you know what, you'll be okay, I'm going to go back to the room or wherever I'm going to pray for you. No, he prayed for him right there. Lord, open his eyes, but he helped the servant to see what he saw. Guys, that's our responsibility. That's our call. As we go out into the world, we're not only to be praying for the eyes to be open, but what are we doing to help others to see what we see? That's what we're called to do. It's called to help them to see what we see and that God's there. God hears. God will take care of it. He will. So we've not only got to pray, but we've got to be actively in helping them to see. Change their perspective. You know, it is so easy, right? With the problems and with the trials that we have, and we do have them. Man, everybody in here has them. And every trial and trouble is real, and some are greater than others, but God's there. And so as we pray, help them to see what we see, or help open my eyes more so I can see. It's about changing perspective. The Bible is full of that. Where God is constantly trying to get mankind to do what? Change their perspective from looking at the troubles and doing what? Looking where? Looking up. Now, in other words, what God is trying to do and what Elisha is trying to do, and Elisha did here through his prayer, he helped the servant to see, again, the reality. The army is still there. The army didn't vanish. You know, the armies didn't come invisible. The army was still there. The trouble was still there. But what he saw was past the army that was coming to get him and saw behind them what was there. An elevated perspective. All right, here we go. Pray I don't fall. Whole lot different perspective up here than it is down there. Whole lot. Whole lot. I can see, and if I was outside, I could see a whole lot better. But this is where God wants us to see. It's getting from down there and getting up here. Getting up. Now, how do we get up here? Do we just climb a ladder? No. We get up here two ways. I think two ways. And it starts in God's Word. The more you get into His Word, the more that you get into God's Word, the higher your perspective comes. The more it is elevated, because you know where your eyes are going? Your eyes are going off from what's going on down here to up here. It doesn't mean down here is invisible. It doesn't mean down here is not real. But I want to tell you, what you don't see is even more real than what you see up here. You know how else we get up here? Not only getting to God's Word, but getting on our face before God. It's literally, if you want to say prostrate on the ground, it's getting prostrate on the ground. It's getting your face in prayer before God Almighty and asking Him. And when we get into His Word, when we get on our face in prayer to God Almighty, you know what happens to our perspective? It starts to elevate. You still, listen, I look at you, I still see you. But I can also see behind you even clearer. And a lot of times what Satan tries to do is get us focused down here that we don't see what's behind. And what did the servant see? He still saw the army, but he saw behind the army horses and chariots of fire of God's army circling around. And that's why Elisha said, don't worry, because those who's with us is greater than those who's with you or with them. You want this perspective? You want to get your... Again, your troubles are still there, your trials are still there, but I want to tell you something. When you start seeing through the eyes of God and the perspective of God, those things become, they're still there, but they become a whole lot smaller. You know what happened to that servant? Do you think when he saw what Elisha saw, when he saw what he was unseen, what do you think happened? Do you think that fear left him? Amen, it did. He was no longer fearful. He was no longer hopeless. He was no longer helpless. God's got this. And that is our responsibility. If we want to help others to see the unseeable, then we have to get in God's Word. We have to get in our face and elevate them. Point them to Christ. Help them to see Christ. This doesn't happen by accident. It takes His Word and prayer if we want elevated perspective. Okay, Lisa, you can breathe. You can breathe. She said, I don't want to go to the hospital today. 2 Kings chapter 20 and 23. Now, before I get to this passage down here, well, think about Elisha. And again, it's the love of God. It's the love of God, right? Because the army was there. God's army was there. And all Elisha had to do was say, Lord, strike him dead. You know what would have happened? They'd have been dead. They'd have been dead. But you know what Elisha did? He extended grace. He extended mercy. He extended compassion. Because when they came to him, verse 18 says this, before we get down to here, it says, when they came to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord of God, strike this people with blindness. And God did. He could have easily, God, smite them, strike them dead. But he did. May others be in awe of the God we serve. You see, not only did he do it there, but you go on down to verse 20. It says, because he, and again, they're not physically blind. They can't see. They're disoriented. They don't know who, I mean, Elisha's standing right there talking to them. They don't know who it is. So God answers his prayer. They can't see. They don't have this judgment about them. So he leads them. He says, the person you're looking for is not here, which is not a lie. He wasn't there. He was going to Samaria. So he says, just come along with me in a sense. But he says, when they had come into Samaria, Elisha said immediately, O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may what? See. So the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Instead of them being surrounded for Elisha to take him dead or alive, they were now surrounded. And verse 21, right? Verse 21, then the king of Israel, when he saw them, said, Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? I can almost, it's kind of like a kid in a candy store. That's how I picture it. I mean, this army who's warring against Israel is all of a sudden now helpless. Where? Helpless in their city, surrounded by the enemy, or not the enemy, Israel, surrounded. And he says, what? Can we kill him? Can we kill him? God says, no. Wow. Verse 22, he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? I go a step further. Set a feast before him. Set a feast before him and let him go. Mercy and grace. I want to tell you something. By all rights, they should have either been killed or taken as slaves. By all rights. By all rights, they should have been killed back in verse 18. But Elisha, the man of God, just like God does us, just through Christ, we deserve death. But God continues to show us mercy and grace. See, we pray. Elisha prayed for the servant to open his eyes, and he saw his fear was gone. And I would say he was in awe of who God was. But now the enemy, who wants to kill Elisha. God, Elisha prayed, blind them so I can take them into Samaria and open their eyes so they can see what? The grace and mercy of God, so they can be in awe. Can you imagine this feast? After they have this feast, and they say, okay, time for you guys to leave. And they leave. Can you imagine? I can almost hear them talking. We don't deserve to be alive. We don't deserve to be. And if you go on and read verse 23, and so he prepared a great feast for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master, and the marauding brands of Arameans did not come again into the land of Israel. Wonder why? Now, it could have been because they were fearful. I mean, this is a powerful God, right? But again, who got the credit? God got the credit. He got the credit. He got the glory. But don't you think for just a moment, they were so thankful to be alive that their life was not spared just once, but twice. And not only was their life was spared, they were given a feast. And that's exactly what our Lord and Savior has done. We don't deserve the moment we're here today. We don't deserve this time. But God, by His grace and by His mercy, has chosen to give us another time. He is preparing a feast for us. See, it's not only do we want to open our eyes, but it's about helping others have their eyes open. Help them to see how merciful and how graceful and compassionate God is to them, just as what? We have seen Him be that way to us. Because I remember, and I may have told this here before, but I don't care, I'll tell it again. I remember when I knew that if I die, I was going to hell. I remember that. Scared to death to drive home 30 minutes from Amy's house, Lisa's best friend who I was dating at the time. Well, that's a whole other story. Scared to death when I got in my car. I knew if I died where I was going, and I didn't deserve. But boy, at that point in time, when I got back the next day, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready because my eyes have been opened. I don't deserve to live. I don't deserve heaven. I don't care what else is there. I don't deserve it. And these men who walked away were in awe. You see, guys, why is it important for you and I to answer the question when people are asking, what shall we do? So it's not that they're in awe of the church, but they're in awe of God Almighty. That's why we have to respond. You need to ask, what shall we do? Let me tell you what we should do. We're going to trust God. We're going to trust Him. And whatever God decides to do, so be it. So be it. I win either way. I have victory no matter what. And if your eyes are open and you come to Christ, you have victory. And that's just heaven celebrating. Man, I can picture this here when they walked away. Thank you. You know who else was probably, their eyes were open? Israel. Because they saw it too, didn't they? Because the king's ready to kill them. But Elisha says, no, you're going to extend grace. and mercy. And their eyes were open. So guys, for us today, it's like Elisha. Let us, what shall we do? Let us be praying that the eyes are open. Let us help others. Let's, as Elisha did here with the army, let's lead them to Christ. Let's lead them, because right now, their eyes are blinded. And they're not blinded by God, they're blinded by Satan. And there's only one who can open the eyes. It wasn't Elisha who opened the eyes. Who was it? It was God Almighty who opened their eyes. We want to see revival. We want to see a spiritual awakening. We want to see eyes to start open. My dear friends, it's about prayer. It is about getting before God and saying, God, open the eyes. We'll do what you want us to do, but open the eyes. And you know what I think? I think God will. I think He will. I'm just, you and I are just naive enough to believe it. Because that's what God says. And we see it over and over and over again in Scripture. We desire to see revival and spiritual awakening. We want to see people saved. Then let's start praying that way for the eyes to be opened. But then let's go a step further. Let's start physically leading people that way, like He did this army. Because again, Robert, He could have anybody lead them. He could have said, hey, servant, you take them. He could have got somebody from the city, you take them. Nope. Elisha took them. And that's what we're called to do. So, may we always strive to overcome evil with good. And that's what happened here. That's what Paul says. Romans 12:21. You want to overcome evil in this world, you don't do it with evil, you do it with good. And that's what happened here. So, today, will you pray? Because if you're focused on, and again, this is real, but God's real. And no matter what's going on here, God's bigger. He's greater. So maybe today, and maybe at some point in time, there's a problem, there's something in your that's caused you to become focused off on what God is wanting to show you, and you become focused on that. Maybe you just need to pray, God, open my eyes. Help me to see. I think God will answer that prayer. I really do. But don't limit your life to the visible. But rather ask Him to let you see what you're unable to see today. And He'll show you. May not be today. May not be tomorrow. But you don't quit praying. And I think God He'll open the eyes. So this morning, do you see the unseen? Do you know somebody who does not see what you see? Starts with prayer. Let's ask God, open the eyes. My eyes of faith, someone else's eyes of faith, but open the eyes. The world is asking, what shall we do? The world is asking that question. And the world's going to continue to ask that question. Even if this goes away and something else comes, that world's asking, what shall we do? It is the church who needs to respond, whose voice needs to be heard. This is what you do. And let us start praying and let us start showing. And watch God do what only God can do. Because that's what we want. Will you join with me in a word of prayer? Our Father God, as we just come before You right now, Lord, there may be someone here today whose eyes need to be opened. Maybe, Father, there's someone here today who is lost. And they are absolutely blinded. They don't see the significance of the cross. They don't see the fact that, just like them Armenians, not were spared just once, but they were spared twice. Maybe they don't see that, Lord. And we pray, Father, we pray for them that their eyes might be open, and only You can do it. We'll do everything we can. We can lead them, we can encourage, we can talk to them, but only You, Lord, can open their eyes and help us to do what we need to do, just like Elisha did when he prayed and when he led the Armenian army. Let us do what we can do, but it takes You. And Father, the world is looking. The world is asking. Father, as Rachel's son, the church. It's not just the church here at Kingsway. It is the church. Let the church rise up in your power, in your strength, and be the voice. Just like Elisha was here, let us be the voice that cries out and saying, Lord, open the eyes. Open the eyes. Father, we love you. We desire one thing and one thing only right now. And that is your will to be done. And may it be done. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see the unseeable. It's in the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.